This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Because you know it's all about that brand, about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand, about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand, about that brand.
Welcome to the All About That Brand podcast with Grace Lanning. Grace is a certified personal branding strategist coaching business leaders on how to tell a compelling story about who they really are on and offline. Join me in welcoming Grace Lanning.
Hi, this is Grace Lanning with All About That Brand podcast on the eWomen Network channel. And I am so excited today to have Felicia Jones on the line with us. Hello, Felicia.
Hey, Grace. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. It's 8 a.m. on a Friday. I know everybody out there in the world is thinking about what might happen over the weekend. And I betcha Felicia's maybe thinking a little bit about how to wrap up her week and make sure that it was successful from a numbers perspective.
Sometimes I do that, but usually I just try to figure out what I'm going to have fun with over the weekend.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. I'll take that lesson home with me today. I would love for you to share with our audience today, Budget School is the name of your online course. It's the name of your platform. I also love your social handle, the Keep Up With Mrs. Jones. I love that. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you're trying to achieve with Budget School.
Oh my gosh, I love that question because my vision and what I'm trying to achieve is changing the world one budget at a time. You know, I've worked with so many solopreneurs and we walk a very thin line when it comes to business and personal finances. And I just want to make sure that everyone has the right education and the right information so that they can at least guarantee bits and pieces of success in their business. So my goal is to help anyone that wants to be helped when it comes to understanding numbers. And I love budgeting. That's just one of my sick and twisted things that I love to do for fun.
That's awesome. I know that when I became an entrepreneur, I really was solving a customer problem. And we created this software product design that people were so excited. It was in the 1999 when people were jamming money in the hands of smart entrepreneurs. And we, quite frankly, didn't really know how to manage that money. We were very lucky that we had smart investors who guided us through that process. And so tell me, Felicia, what was it that made you focus in on this specific area of entrepreneurship, almost stewardship of themselves and their business?
You know, it actually started with personal finances, and it started with my story coming out of college. I worked for the U.S. Navy for 11 and a half years. And the beautiful thing about coming out of college with a computer science degree is that they give you a lot of money. And I got a lot of money to go and do my job, and I spent every last dime of it. And during that process, you just learned so much about what it's like living day to day and not enjoying it whatsoever. And of course, being in debt. So eventually I was able to get out of that situation. I learned how to invest. I learned how to save. And I was presented with this magical opportunity to walk away from the federal government and retire at the age of 36. And I credit all of that to really digging into my finances and learning what I needed to do to be a success with them. And when I started my business, I realized that a lot of business owners go through this same trouble, is trying to manage that personal finance on top of managing business finances at the same time. And you know, I tell people the super simple secret is that they're not much different. You just have to think a little differently and different ways money are coming in. But that was my goal. And that was how I just really got into just wanting to help people understand balancing that personal and business finance at the same time while you're trying to grow a business.
Got it. Got it. That's very, very well said. And the Budget School is an online live webinar, 8 weeks, correct?
Yes, it is an 8-week course and it's dripped out to you when you decide to enroll as a full-time student. And we also have a free version where you can go check out a couple of classes and some videos and just kind of see what we're doing over inside of Budget School.
Oh, that's very exciting. What a great gift for our audience to try out. I know I'm very interested in seeing what's behind the lines too, from not only from a technical perspective, but also from a branding and from a operational perspective. I've been so impressed with what I've seen so far and also out on social media. So you're very active, sharing tips and tricks and doing Facebook Lives. And, you know, has that been easy for you as a audience connector?
Oh my goodness, no, it has not been easy whatsoever. I am like most people. I avoided camera life as long as I possibly could. People were saying, you know what, you should go on camera, you should do the live streaming, you should do the podcast. I honestly tried to avoid it. And it is really hard to make that decision to put yourself out there and to face whatever criticism, you know, the positives, the negatives, and just kind of getting over yourself as well. So it hasn't been the easiest thing to do because, you know, I like to live my little quiet life sometimes, and social media has really forced me to get out there. But one of the other things I tell my clients and I tell the students inside of Budget School, you really can't do much with your business if nobody knows that you exist. So I had to take a dose of my own advice.
That's right. And you're surrounded by wonderful support. You're part of the Denver eWomen Network chapter. Is that right?
Yes, I am a member of Denver eWomen Network. And yes, it's been a great group to be a part of. And we, you know, going to conference and meeting more of the eWomen Network members. And you never know who you sit next to and who will give you your next great idea.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, that's where you and I met, and we enjoyed each other. We shared each other's cards and just connecting on Facebook and watching what you were talking about and how unique it is to have someone embracing all the elements of social marketing and branding as a financial person, because I haven't met many folks like that.
You know, it's funny. My dad always told me I was an oddball at my job. So I have my degree in computer science. I have a master's degree in systems engineering, but my night job was being a professional cheerleader, and I paid for college through dance and baton twirling. So I've had all of the PR work and the training, but I kind of have this dual personality and I kind of know the importance of actually getting out there, but the nerd side of me wants to stay in my little hole and just not talk to anybody. But you know what? You got to get out there. And yeah, so when it comes to being a money nerd, I'm probably slightly of an oddball.
I get it. I love that you're the oddball. In fact, you know, being the oddball allows you to stand out and shine amongst many other people who say that they're offering support for entrepreneurs in one way or another. So I think you're doing the right thing there. But when did you first discover the concept of branding?
You know what? The concept of branding, I discovered it when I first started my business. I never really understood what it was. And to be honest, I never really heard about it. Now, when I look back, now I understand what brands are and how you craft a brand and how you live your brand. But to be honest, when I started my business, it was a whole new world to me about branding. And unfortunately, my brain went instantly to, okay, your website is your brand or your logo is your brand. But now I realize your brand is so many other things outside of just a website and a logo.
Absolutely. In fact, I often tell my clients, you know, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Ooh, I like that.
And, you know, there really is a distinction between branding for your business and your personal brand. So have you thought about that distinction at all?
Yes, I have. And I struggled with that a lot because, in the world that I'm in, I'm around a lot of consultants and coaches who brand their business as themselves. And for whatever reason, I never wanted my business to be branded as me. Now, there could be, I don't know, I have, you know, I get these gut feelings and, you know, I'm thinking I could sell my business later on or something like that. But I definitely wanted Budget School to not be branded around me. Now, granted, I know I have to go out and talk about it. I have to get people to embrace it, but I wanted it to be a brand on its own. And then I also have my personal brand so that, you know, I can talk about anything and you can see my personality, because sometimes, you know, I'm not all about the budgeting. I do silly things, you know, I lose my keys. I have all these crazy stories. I love to travel. So I wanted to make sure that I had my own personal brand so that I can talk about myself and show my personality. And I wanted Budget School to be its own brand. So yeah, I struggled with that for a little while of how to separate and how to have those two brands at the same time.
I think that is smart thinking on your part. In fact, you know, we ran personal branding programs inside large consulting projects, and we never told anyone we were actually delivering personal branding consulting. Mm-hmm. It was part of the larger program for the owners of a business so that we could start to separate owner from their business from a platform perspective.
Yes.
And it was exactly for that reason, so that the brand equity of the business was clear. And if they were going to merge or get funded, or if anything was happening around the money associated with that business, that it would stand on its own. And it's really only been in the last 18 months where we've created our own platform all about that brand as part of this podcast and ebook and online classes and speaking. You know, you and I are on the same path, bringing our subject matter expertise out into the world. And, you know, my background's engineering, and I leapt somehow over into the sales and marketing world. I think I was following the money. I was trying to do what was smart for my family. And so it's interesting how we have a little bit of a different path, but we kind of are headed in the same direction.
Yeah. You know, it's something funny about that engineering background that makes you want to shift gears at some point.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned in our earlier interview, you mentioned something about, you know what, women are really creative. I think, you know, you hit on something there. We want to be creative, so much so that we often forget about the zeros and ones associated with that creativity, which allows us to continue to be more creative, right?
Yeah, you know, I was saying that, you know, as business owners, we are inherently creatives. And we get these ideas, we want to run with them, we want to tell the whole world, we want to build pretty pictures around them, pretty websites, and we get so caught up inside of that, and even trying to be a success, that yeah, we overlook the numbers, we overlook managing the money and all the, I call it the non-sexy stuff in business. We want to kind of kick that over to the curb and go after the fun stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. And so, what about this quarter? You know, personal branding is, it's a little bit of a moving target, as much as we ourselves, as we grow, our personal brand grows and changes. As our interests change, our personal brand might change a little bit. Do you have a focus this quarter on your personal brand?
As far as my personal brand goes, the focus has been to keep creating authority around what I do and what I talk about. So I have been really focused on building authority inside of my business. And for myself, one of the biggest things that I've taken on is the challenge of getting more speaking gigs so that I can sell Budget School as a training program. So I have created a list of 100 organizations. I'm going to start pitching them, but I also need to have them see what I do. So I do live stream every morning on Periscope and Facebook. I'm very active on Twitter. That's kind of where I meet a lot of people. And I just want to make sure that my message is out there so that people can start getting to know my brand and seeing what I'm doing and what I'm talking about. So that's how I am building my personal brand, because yeah, it's more than just the website, the logo. It really is what you're saying, how you're saying it, how you're delivering it. And so that's one aspect of my personal brand that I am definitely focused on this quarter.
Got it. You also have your own podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have the Budget School podcast, and you know, it goes into the personal brand. I realized that, and if I wanted to build authority, people kind of needed to know that I existed. And it was one of those things that came to me one day, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to honestly tell people what I do, because, you know, most people don't understand it. And I wanted to have that podcast so that people can hear me. I really do want to get in people's brains. And so when they think budget, they think me. So I'm just subconsciously training people. But the podcast has been a lot of fun, and it has opened so many different doors for me to really get out there and build authority.
Got it. And so are you finding it easy to take on the personal branding aspect?
It's getting easier the more I do it. When I first started my business, I really didn't want to have me be a part of the business. And I know for everyone listening, it probably sounds a little odd, but I'm sure there are some people who know exactly what I'm saying. I really didn't want the business to be around me. And I slowly had to learn that I have to tell the stories. I have to give my background story, because I was just thinking, well, I'll just give you good stuff and I'll make $1 billion, but it doesn't work that way. So the longer I do this, it becomes a lot easier to build this personal brand and to find my voice. And that's been the biggest thing of what is it that I want to say and how do I want to say it? So it's been a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the voice that I'm connected to today. And I would love to hear from you in your words, what you consider your differentiation is from perhaps other folks offering, you know, similar guidance or similar programs.
You know, I always say that I'm different in, you know, the professional way, in that I'm not a financial advisor, I'm not a bookkeeper, and I'm not an accountant. I tell people I learned about money the good old fashioned way. I made a lot and I spent all of it. And I live to tell the tale of how I turned it around. So I really like to tell this story and put in a lot more fun with it as much as I can when it comes around budgeting. Not everybody thinks budgeting is fun, but I actually think it is. And I try to make people relax and let them understand that, you know what, I know exactly what you are going through. For every crazy money story, I have one that can go toe-to-toe with yours. And I'm really trying to break those barriers, because more people need to talk about money. And I know that it's a very personal, it's a very judgmental thing that we don't want to share about it. But you know, it's one of those things that will ruin businesses, it'll ruin relationships, it'll ruin families. And more people need to be open to tell their story so that they can get help. So I try to differentiate that way by just kind of making it a lot more fun and making people relax and not be scared.
Got it. So I'm going to share a story in hopes that you'll share a story back. When I was launching my first startup, we initially presented to what are called angel investors. And this one gentleman agreed to meet with my VP of marketing at the time. So she and I went out to his resort to present to him. And the first thing we were asked to do was to have lunch with his father, which, as you can imagine, kind of double clutched our brain a little bit, like, wow, you know, we get to this beautiful place, we think that we're having lunch in a boardroom, standing up and presenting the, you know, the 10 to 15 slides that we had prepared so diligently. And it started with this conversation with a gentleman who is probably, I don't know, 80 something. Little do we know, he's brilliant financier of the family, right? But he was the gatekeeper. If we didn't get past dad, we didn't get in the boardroom. Then we got in the boardroom and we did get a chance to shake hands with the investor. And he had his son there, who was a senior in high school, who brought his notebook and he opened it up on the table and he proceeded to lead the meeting. And I have to tell you, I was initially a little ticked off because I thought, wow, he must really think so little of us and our idea that, you know, he's not taking us seriously. And somewhere in the middle of that conversation, I realized that he was training his son to do what he could do, which was invest in technology businesses. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, his son was much more up to speed on technology than dad was. It just happened that dad had the dollar signs in the bank. And, you know, he made his money in the oil industry. So, you know, his drawing, he said, you know what, Gracie, I just need to know one thing. I want to know what the dry hole cost of this thing is going to be. And I'm sure I had this look of, you know, big question mark over my head. And he said, you know, in the oil business, when we're looking for oil, we know we're going to throw a bunch of money into the ground. And some percentage of the time, we're going to hit oil. And some percentage of the time, we're not. So how much money do we have to put in this thing before we know we're done? And so this opened up this amazing conversation. He wrote us a $50,000 check on the spot that day. And I began a whole different thinking about money as a result. And so, you know, toe to toe on money conversation, do you have a story that you can tell that changed your thinking about money?
You know, what absolutely changed the way I thought about money was I was at dinner and my boyfriend, who's now my husband, he had come over to my place and we're sitting there eating. And next thing you know, he looks up and he says, "What's that?" So I look up and there is this large water spot in the ceiling. And for all the homeowners out there, or even if you're not a homeowner, if you see water inside of a home, that is usually a big red flag. And I sat there and I looked at this big water bubble that was forming over on the ceiling. And I looked up and, you know, he asked me, he said, "So what are you going to do about that?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I just kept eating, because at that moment I realized that I had overextended myself. I got into a home right when the economy was falling apart in 2007, 2008. I had an expensive car note. I was making over $100,000 a year. That wasn't a problem, but I still didn't have any money. And just sitting there realizing that, you know, when I own a home, I own all the problems. And I just knew right then and there, something had to change. And what happened the rest of that week was my car had to go to the shop, and surprise, surprise, you know, you go in for an oil change. Next thing you know, you need 4 brand new tires. And I just knew then that something needed to give, because at that moment, I just felt like, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was making money, but I didn't have any. And I remember I honestly just sat there and said, you know what? I'm done. I'm absolutely done living this way. And I loved your story and having the young man in there, because that is a sign of mentorship and people and a parent who is training their kid to understand money, to understand business and how to talk to people. And that's one thing I didn't have growing up, and, you know, not knocking my parents, but you learn the basics. I didn't have these heavy money conversations. I just knew that, you know, you make money, you spend it. That's what I grew up with. And when I was going through that time of the water and the car, I was just like, you know, I am absolutely done. And I pulled out all of my money books, which I hadn't been reading. I read them and just made a plan to just never, ever live this way again. And that was it.
I grew up the daughter, only daughter of 2 school teachers, only child. And I never felt that I lacked anything, but you know, my mom had a garden in the summertime that is probably twice the size of our property today. And we ate off the land. My dad hunted in the fall, and what he brought home is what we ate through the winter. And I imagine that in the tiny little home, little two bedroom, smaller than a lot of two bedroom apartments now, that you didn't talk about money. Every other week they got paid. We were allowed to go to dinner. Just that that was like the big treat, right? But other than that, there was no frivolity. As a parent, you know, I was starting to wake up to the concept of money because being in the business world, it really kind of shook me up a little bit to pay attention. And when my daughter was, I don't know, two or three, and we're driving up to the ATM and the money comes out and she goes, "Mommy, you won." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you have to change this thinking right here." No, really, Mommy, put the money in the box. And here's how that works. And you know, I taught my kids how to balance checkbooks. I never just gave them money willy-nilly. There was always, you know, either allowance or there was a, you know, now I have these fierce negotiators as kids, but the punchline is that they see money as a value exchange. It's not good or bad. It just is. In order to have great experiences in this world that are associated with travel, or they know that money is required in order to make that happen. And they know that they can get beautiful experiences by going for a hike and doing things that don't require a lot of money as well. And I think that it's kind of the swing, you know, that's happening between, you know, my parents were boomers and I'm an X, my kids are millennials, you know, it's kind of the swing coming back somewhere in the middle. So I'm going out on a limb here, Felicia. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but I'm wondering, where is your service work? I imagine that you're supporting some community activities or doing something above and beyond budget school every day. Tell me a little bit about that.
So when it comes to, you know, I have the community within budget school, and the goal is to just always be of service to anyone that needs help. I do get out in the community. I network a lot, and I've just gotten to this point where I just open myself up. I give my cell phone number to people and just say, "Hey, if you need help, find me. You know, if you have a question, text me." My goal is to just be a service to anyone and everyone out there that wants to be a success, even with finances, with budgeting, because, you know, when we're traveling through this world, we have so many stressors on us, and sometimes we feel like we just can't reach out and ask for help. So I try to make sure that, you know, if people need help, just ask. And if you can't ask me, ask someone else, because that's what we like to do as humans, as business owners. We like to help people who really honestly want to be helped. So that's one of the things I really do focus on as well.
Awesome. And finances is a part of owning a business. And I know that you've said before that you've realized that you can do whatever you want to build a business. Mm-hmm. How do you guide your students, your clients, to review other service providers? And the reason I ask this question is that I often am referring the two or three finance people I like to work with my business consulting clients, because they're missing the financial aspect. And although I can read a P&L, it's not my sweet spot. It's not my happy place. And so it's taken me almost 20 years to find three people in the greater Austin area who I believe in their philosophy in regard to finance. And part of that is the owner should be doing only those things. Only those things what the owner can do. And the more that they can, you know, turn the ship, if you will, or turn the wheel into that direction and allow the business to cultivate either vendors or employees or other providers to help build up the business, the more successful they're going to be.
You know, one of the things that I tell anyone, especially the clients I work with, you got to go back to those goals. And I always say that because people, my philosophy on budgeting is I don't tell you what to do. I honestly don't. And a lot of people do get upset with me because, well, I just need to know how to budget for a VA or how to budget for an event. And I tell people, I can't tell you that because I don't know what your business needs. And that's the crazy thing about business is that you have to step in those CEO shoes and really look at the big picture. So I always tell people to go back to what are your goals in the next 12 months? What is it that you're trying to achieve? What is it that you're trying to do? And then you match the numbers, you match the money to that. Because when you are solid on your goals, solid on your plan, it becomes really easy to say yes to certain things and really easy to say no to other things. So I tell people, you know, like for me, I want to get more speaking engagements internationally. That means I need to invest in becoming a better speaker. I need to get people who know how to get speaking engagements. So it becomes a lot easier to say yes and just really easy to say no to all of the different distractions, because as business owners, we will get distracted really quickly. We're kind of like little kids in a candy store. You know, if it's bright and shiny and pretty, we'll just run toward it. But we always have to go back to those goals. I mean, really, really nail down those goals, because that is the blueprint for every decision that you will make. And that's how you start budgeting. And that's how you make the decisions to reach out to the right person to bring into your business. Because, and yes, you are right in that when you start making those decisions, oh my goodness, your business will grow. It'll grow when you finally bring on that VA that you have so desperately needed for the last 3 years, or, you know, you're bringing in somebody to help you manage the money. Because sometimes we take on this thing as business owners that we can do everything. I can do my own branding. I can do my own numbers. I can book my own gigs, but we also have to go home. We have to sleep. We have to eat. We have to dress ourselves, you know, all of those other things. And it's just so much easier when you make the right decisions and bring in the right people. But I always tell people, start with those goals and figure out the plan that's going to move your business forward in the next year. And you'll know exactly who you need to hire and when to hire them.
That's awesome. You know, I just, as I was listening, I connected the dots on something, and you'll have to check me if this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So there's the concept of corporate branding, and there's the concept of personal branding. And yes, they can be related, particularly when you have a solopreneur. It's tough to divest the two, but there, mm-hmm. there really is a fuzzy line there, in my opinion. That's, mm-hmm. that's my certified personal branding strategist view, if you will. There's also the same thing in relationship to your corporate and your personal finances. So when you roll out Budget School, is there a conversation about personal versus corporate budget?
Oh, yes. I talk about that a lot. If anyone has ever listened to my live stream or to my podcast, I talk about that separation. And you have to separate your business and your personal finances. You have to. And what I do acknowledge is that as solopreneurs, as newbie business owners out there, and for some who aren't very careful, we do walk a very thin line, a very, very thin line of business and personal finances, where it is so easy to always dig from your personal to support your business, and always easy to take money out of your business to support your personal life. But this is one of those areas that you really do need to make a clear and clean cut, so that you'll know exactly what the business needs to do and you'll know exactly how the business needs to support your personal life. You know, I talk about giving yourself a salary, and it's one of those things that you should be doing as a solopreneur or as a business owner. even if you can't cover your entire salary that you want, start the system right now. But yes, it is like the branding, you know, personal branding versus your business and corporate branding. It will be fuzzy for a while, but when you start seeing those clear lines, things become a lot easier to manage. But that's what happens to a lot of us. We just don't break those lines. And there are legal reasons, there are money reasons, there's tax reasons why you need to do it sooner rather than later.
I was fortunate to have advice very early on about having a business account versus a personal account. And if I look back almost 20 years ago, it really felt silly to me because the numbers were very modest. Now that my consulting practice is funding, you know, my contribution to my home, it's funding the launch of this kind of new product line. So it allows me to not only understand how this consulting business is feeding itself, but also how it feeds downstream. So it's a worthwhile philosophy and effort to take the time to separate church and state there.
It really is. And it's not much different than separating your personal brand from your business brand, because you know, you have more stories than just the business. And it really does make sense to start really separating those, because at some point, you know, the business may fly on its own. And then if you're only wrapped into the brand of your business, then now you got to go discover your own story and figure out what's going on at home.
Absolutely. And that sometimes that can be a little bit of a gnarly mess.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
So we have one more topic here, and I like the way that you put this, is you'd like to raise the question of how some people spend a lot of money trying to create a brand that really isn't who they are.
Oh, yes, that happens a lot. And I'm sure you see that a lot as well. And with social media, with all of the things that we can do, it is so fascinating to watch when people want to model other people, when you need to go find your own voice. And finding your own voice is very hard, and we don't want to take the time because we want success right now, instantly. And when we start looking at all of the people in our social media feeds and we're starting to watch other people's content and brands, we start to mimic them. We start to do things exactly like them. We start dressing like them. And what happens is that it'll never feel right. It'll never feel right. And so you'll always keep paying money saying, you know what, maybe this should be my website. You know what, maybe this should be how I dress. This is how I should wear my hair. Where I call it, you're just trying to find an easy way to get to success. And you're modeling so many other people when you really needed to take that time and figure out who you are. And, you know, searching and modeling other people, you will spend a lot of money. I've met tons of people who bounce around from coaching programs and even branding programs out there. And they're trying to find themselves and they're paying $10,000 and $15,000 and $20,000, and nothing seems to stick. And I'm sure you've run into this, the people who are almost changing their websites every other year. They change up their messaging every other year. And it's just like, well, we still haven't figured out who you are yet. And that's where you start spending a lot of money trying to find your voice when you're following other people's voices and not discovering your own.
Yeah, that is lives in the category of authenticity, right?
Yeah, it does. And I, on the financial side, I hate to see it when I'm working with people and their numbers and the amount of money that they've spent, because I always challenge them. It's like, why don't you take time to find out who you are? But even just on the consumer side, I just see people who are changing so often, I don't have time to even understand what their brand is or what they're talking about. Yeah. It gets confusing sometimes.
It sure does. You know, the top three fears around personal branding, the number one fear is that people will see who they are. actually, you know, the client will have to be authentic, and then the people out in the world will see who they really are, and they're living in an imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they have some stuff to work through, right? Which is a place where, you know, a coach or business guidance can be helpful, but sometimes there's a little bit deeper thinking that might be beneficial to help them move into who they really are. I've seen, you know, I think of in my head, particularly a chiropractor who reinvented himself, had worn a white coat for 15, 20 years, and just one day just couldn't do it anymore.
Wow.
And he started to travel the world, and he realized that he wanted to be a life coach. He wanted to spend more time with people. And he had this great medical background and, you know, a long arm's length of certifications above and beyond being a doctor of chiropractic. And he wanted to connect with people on a very different level. And once he found that voice inside him, his whole world opened up and changed. And as a chiropractor, you'd think he had more than enough money to manage life. And, you know, his dynamic with his money completely shifted. You know, he went from earning a lot and spending a lot to earning, I don't know, maybe a little bit less to begin with, but probably more now. And his need to spend became very, very different. You know, it balanced into this beautiful place because he was coming from this authentic self, which is not always easy to discover. And it's interesting how money tends to flow.
Yes.
In and out alongside of that authenticity. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit too foofy for our call today, but it's just an observation that I've had over the years.
You know, I actually don't think it's too foofy because it is so true. I've gotten to the point now where I tell people instead of always paying for business strategies that aren't working, do a little self-development work, because when it comes to that personal brand, you'll be surprised that people will like you just the way you are when you figure out who you are. And you will save money instead of paying to try to manufacture a brand that isn't you, that isn't the authentic, that never really feels quite right. And I honestly do think that when you start understanding who you are, your personal brand will absolutely flourish. I've had to learn this the hard way myself, of really digging in and figuring out who I am and what I want to do.
You've done a fabulous job at that, Felicia Jones. I love your handle on social, Keep Up With Mrs. Jones. I've poked around on budgetschool.co. And the offer to our listeners today is to have a chance to try out Budget School and check in on a couple of the classes. And if it feels like it's right for you, to move into the full 8 weeks. Is that right?
Absolutely. When you go to budgetschool.co, you can enroll absolutely for free. And there's tons of content over there. We have the Crash Study Hall. There are 12 videos that talk about all of the different aspects of the business and also how to jumpstart a budget and how to give yourself a salary. All of the content on cheat sheets on getting speaking gigs, on creating goals, and understanding your purpose and your why, they're all in there absolutely free when you go over to Budget School.
Wonderful. I love this testimonial I'm reading. This is from an acupuncturist. Says yesterday I had a come to Jesus moment while listening to Felicia's presentation. Afterward, I personally thanked her for helping me realize what financial jeopardy I'd put myself in and for providing me a simple solution to my problem. Wow.
Yeah.
Mrs. Jones is the expert you need. How do you love that?
You know what? You know, I should start every day just reading testimonials to myself. They're amazing, aren't they?
They really are amazing. It's impressive. And, you know, it's just fortuitous connection, meeting you at an international conference and having a chance to invite you on the podcast today. I so appreciate you taking the time. And tell our listeners, what's the best way to reach you?
Oh my gosh. So first I want to say thank you so very much for having me. It is so much fun talking to you and about branding, which is not my area of expertise at all. But for anyone that is interested in reaching out and connecting with me, you can find me just about anywhere. You can go to facebook.com/budgetschoolco. You can message me there. You can find me on Keep Up with Mrs. Jones. You can also text me. I give my cell phone number to anybody that wants to text me. It is 303-327-9158. So I'm pretty much all over the social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm even on Periscope. So yeah, you can start with one platform and you can find me on all the others and you can just reach out to me. And if you have any questions about business, budgeting, solopreneur life, I am here to help.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. I'm looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to trying out Budget School. And we'll check in next year and see how things are going with you.
Thank you so very much. And you know what? I'm looking forward to the weekend as well.
If you'd like to learn more about personal branding and download a free ebook to get your first or next personal brand underway, head to allaboutthatbrand.com. To learn more, I'm Grace Lanny. You're listening to the All About That Brand podcast, and have a fantastic weekend.
Because you know it's all about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand, no trouble. It's all about that brand.
This is the EWN Podcast Network.